Okay, let's go ahead and wrap this thing up. You know, last week we talked about this idea called The Lost Boys, and you know, we've all seen Peter Pan, right? We all seen that movie Peter Pan with the kid, the cartoons, the mermaids, all that kind of weird stuff. Well, that's where the idea came from. Me, my wife, Pastor Joe, we're just talking about, you know, different things. And you know, Peter Pan, if you know anything about the Lost Boys, they got lost. They found themselves where they didn't want to grow up, so they find themselves in a place called Neverland, where they never grow up, and they're orphans, and they live without parents in the wild, wearing like raccoon suits and bows and arrows and weird crazy stuff like that. Man, it sounds kind of weird and creepy, but that's what they did. They lived in a place that didn't belong, and they never grew up. They were lost. And a lot of times, you know, it reminds me a lot about the way we or the people around us live. You know, some people they don't want to face reality, or they don't want to grow up in a sense. They want to be a person that lives just for themselves their whole lives, and in essence, they're stuck. They're lost. They're running around a small island, stuck living a small life. You know, the Bible, I love what the Bible tells us. Jesus says, "Look, I am here for a reason." Jesus says, "I am here because I'm here to seek and save the lost. I want lost people found. I want people that don't know where they're going to know where they're going. I want people that don't have a purpose to have a purpose. Jesus, I want people that are hurt to be healed. Jesus, I want people that only know hate and only know loneliness. I want them to know love. I want them to know acceptance. I want them to know what it means. I want to have a family." See, that's what Jesus came to do. I mean, even when one of the first things he ever said in church was that he came to heal the brokenhearted, to take the lost and let them be found. And this is where it comes to. Now, ultimately, you are either lost or you're found. And I figure you're in this place. Chances are you're probably on the found end, that you know who Jesus is, that Jesus is living in your life. Now, if that's true, if you are a Christian, if you have any type of allegiance or desire to please God in your life, then that means that you have a job to find people. See, finding people, preaching the gospel, sharing God with others is not the pastor's job. It's not the evangelist's job. It's not the missionary's job. It's not the person who works in church or who went to Bible college. It is not their job. It is everybody's job that says they have Jesus in their heart. Everybody that begins to call them, everybody that thinks they're going to heaven has the duty and the responsibility, the job, the commandment to go out and tell people about Jesus. And I know that maybe seems difficult or strange. Maybe that's something you don't want to do. Maybe it even sounds rude. But the truth of the matter is that is where it stands. Whether you like it or not, that is your job. That is my job. And it's not my job because I'm a pastor and my job is to study the Bible and do these other things. And no, it's because I love God. It's my job to tell people about him. You know, I love what Mark 16:15, Jesus is talking. If you guys have it, go ahead and put it in Mark 16:15, Jesus is talking to the disciples. He says, look, you guys need to go out and preach the gospel to every little creature. He said to them, go into all the world. And he told this to the disciples. And I don't know about you, but chances are, if you love Jesus, you ought to be a disciple. This was one of the last things he said to the people that loved him, is go out. This is not a secret. He said, this is not a secret. He said, every creature. I mean, if you can't find anybody to preach to, then find a dog, a cat, a lizard. Find your teddy bear to preach to. He says, you just got to tell every creature how good God is and how much God loves them. He said, that's your job. It wasn't an idea. It wasn't a suggestion. Like, hey, look, it wasn't like, hey, when you get a chance. He wasn't like, hey, you know, when you're done with your homework. He didn't say, look, as soon as you're able to find a moment, if it comes up in conversation. No. He said, go. Get up off your butt, make a decision, and let people know something. It's called the Great Commission. It's what God's called us to do. It's everybody's job is to do these things. It's kind of funny. One of my sister-in-laws has this weird fear. And she's told me before, she says, I'm not learning first aid. I'm like, well, why? That seems like something that would be really good for somebody to learn first aid, right? Well, she said, I want to learn first aid because if somebody's choking or they need mouth-to-mouth resuscitation, I will be required to resuscitate them. And what if they're gross? She's like, what if they're like all weird looking or nasty? I don't want to do mouth to mouth on them. I'm like, seriously? You just killed that person because they look weird, right? I mean, that's jacked up. You could potentially just killed somebody because you don't like the way that the mouth is shaped. I mean, whatever. I mean, but it's true. If a person knows first aid or a certain type of life-saving techniques and they don't use it at that time, they could be held responsible for not rescuing a person's life. They could be held in contempt. It could be a crime. It could be something that could be held against them if they know how to rescue somebody and they don't do it. Oh, spiritual application. If you're a Christian, you know the answer to a person's deepest need. And if you see somebody in need, if they're on their way in a flaming basket to hell, loving every minute of it, I'm going to hell! And you know the answer for them, and you don't share it with them, man, that's contemptible. That's kind of sad to have an answer and not share it, right? To have somebody's cure and keep it to yourself. Don't be like my sister-in-law, because that's messed up. And she's really loud, too. She'd probably be one of the people that you're talking about, loud American people up in Africa. But, you know, if the Bible tells us that Jesus is the head and we're the body. So your job is to be the hands and feet of Jesus Christ, to go out and love people. Look, people can't see Jesus, but they can see you. So make them see Jesus. People need God to embrace them and to hug them. People need God to show them the way. And you know, they can't see or feel God most of the time. So they need to feel you bringing God's love and encouragement. You need to be the hands, the feet, the heart, the shoulder, the embrace of Jesus Christ to somebody who needs it. I love this verse in Romans, the 10th chapter. If you guys have it, go ahead and put it up there. Romans 10, 14. I want to read this to you. It's a really bizarre verse, but Romans 10. You guys got it? Oh, there it is. Cool. It says this. It says, how then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? How can they believe in him and someone to whom they've never heard about? How shall they hear without a preacher? They won't. It says, and how are they going to preach unless someone's sent, unless they're sent? As it's written, how beautiful the feet. Look, you got beautiful feet. Take your foot off, take your shoe off and look at your foot because it's beautiful. Like, really, you have beautiful feet. Nobody's ever told you that, but your feet are beautiful. They look, maybe they smell a little funny, but they're beautiful. He says, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace. They bring glad tidings of good things. Look, guys, God's telling us that if you don't say something, nobody is going to hear anything. I remember there's this crazy story I read a while ago, and then I read one earlier in the year about this man named Hiru. That's right, brother named Hiru. He's Japanese. He passed away in January, but this man, he was a soldier in World War II, and he was a soldier for the Japanese army. Now he was stationed out in the Philippines to protect and to dominate the island until, of course, the Americans and the Allies came in. We just blew the whole place up. And what happened was this: is he was stationed in the jungles with his platoon. Well, you know, America and everybody else came, and we just demolished everything. And all of a sudden, World War II ended. So when a war ends, what do you do with all the soldiers that are still out there? You send out notes, you tell them to surrender, you say your emperor's given up, whatever the case is, and then they all surrender, and then you just, you know, they just ship them off home. That's what you do. Except for Hiru. He didn't believe it. The brother didn't believe that the war was over. So him and his whole platoon, they stayed in the jungle. They said, it's a joke. The Americans are tricking us. There's no way. They had other Japanese officers come in and said, Hiru, the war's over, dude. Put your gun down. Blah, 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 blah. Get away. And he would scare them away. And eventually they retreated into the jungle of the Philippines until they were kind of forgotten about. And they didn't think the war was over. So months passed by and their rations ran out. So they would start raiding the local farmers, and they would eat their food, and they would go back in the jungle thinking the war was still on. Well, eventually, his friends began to get shot while they were stealing people and stealing food from people. And eventually, he was the only one left. For 29 years. For 29 years. If you guys have the picture, put the dude up there. For 29 years, that's him, back in World War II, he hid in the jungles thinking World War II was still on. And he would shoot people that tried to come get next to him, and then he'd retreat back into the forest. And he would eat whatever grew in the forest, and he'd steal whatever he could from the farms around him for 29 years. Eventually, they would send people out to tell him the war is over, and he didn't believe it for 30 years until they finally decided to find whoever his commanding officer was in Japan. He had survived the war. And they finally sent him in. He was like 80 years old, 90 years old, his old commanding officer. And they made him put up on all of his Japanese war gear, and they marched him out into the middle of the jungle saying, "Hiro, it's your commanding officer. The war's over, man." And eventually, as soon as he recognized his commanding officer, he recognized his general, and he gave up. He came. Do you have the picture of him coming out of the jungle? This was him. This is the day that he gave up with his officers and the people they sent in. And it was 1974. They finally convinced him to put his gun down after 30 years of hiding out. Well, he just died this last year at 91 years old, and. It's crazy to think that someone could be tricked and hold out for so long. But the truth is, Romans tells us, how will somebody believe unless they go and are told? I mean, this man lived like a savage, like a runaway for 30 years until the right person came along and gave him the message, the war is over. He lived in the jungles wearing that set of clothing for 30 years. Yeah. One change of underwear. 30 years, guys. That's funky. He didn't see his friends, his family for 30 years while he thought the war was still on. Until the right person came with the right message to show him that he could be free from the jungle. Isn't that crazy to think that? How will they know unless somebody tells them? How will somebody tell them unless they're sent? Jesus has said, it's my job to seek and save the lost. Now it's your job. Jesus says, go. Now go. Your job is to go out and tell every creature that the war is over, that Jesus has won. Tell every creature that they can come out of hiding. Tell every person your job is to go into the jungle and to tell them that they don't have to live in the wild anymore, but that God has a plan and a purpose. They don't have to steal. They don't have to kill. They don't have to fight people anymore, but they can have peace in their life, and every need that they have is taken care of at the seat of Jesus Christ, because he has a table prepared for everybody to eat freely from the good things that God has given them, so you don't have to live like an animal anymore. But how will anybody know that unless they're told? I think before I knew Jesus, I was a mess, depressed, and I was insecure, I remember I was even too scared to order my own food at a restaurant. Imagine that. I'd tell my parents, "You order for me, you order for me." And then I met Jesus Christ. And then he brought out the boldness inside of me. And then he took the depressed little punk junior high kid and he turned him into a somewhat growing, confident adult man. I mean, he took an angry person and made me a peaceful person. Took me from the jungle into the city. That's what God did for me. And that is why I have the ability. And I love what Letty was saying up here. How does an American talk to a South African orphan who has AIDS, right? How do you talk to somebody like that, whose parents are dead or ran away or they died from AIDS? How do you talk to somebody like that? All she did was tell, "What this is what God did in my life. She gets a letter from a little girl that says, I want God to do that in my life. That's crazy. That's nuts. That's preaching the gospel. It's telling others the good things that God's done for you. Because it's funny thing is people want good things. And they when they find out that good things come from God, then you find out that they want God because God's done good to you. Let me tell you it this way. You know, a lot of people are really scared to tell other people about Jesus because they think it's weird or embarrassing, right? Can I say right? Because it is kind of hard sometimes. You don't want to like freak people out.
Oh, you're one of those people. Oh, I'm gonna sit at another table. Oh, we can't be friends no more.
I mean, I've known a lot of teenagers, even myself. I remember hearing from them and even myself, you know, losing friends because I started going to church. I remember I went to this conference one time and it was like a gospel kind of conference. It was kind of whoa. And they sang this song and I'm not going to sing it to you because it's embarrassing. But the song went, you know, I said to the devil, get under my feet and the devil has to go. And that was one of the lines. I remember one day I was in algebra, true story, and I was singing, so I said to the devil, get under my feet. And I was singing it. And then my friend, some dude, he's like, Richard, you talk the devil? Dude, you're weird. I was like, shut up, it's a song. So I only sang that song at home. But the funny thing is this, is, you know, when it comes to talking about God, you don't have to be weird, right? Like, you don't talk to the devil in front of people. But don't like talk. Never mind. Whatever. Spiritual. Whatever. Shut up. Okay. So, but you don't have to be weird, but you can't be normal. Does it make sense? Like, you don't have to be weird when it comes to sharing the gospel, but you can't be normal. Because if you're normal, then I don't know if you're saved. But if you're weird, I don't know if people are going to listen to you. Just being real. Because some people are really weird Christians. And you don't have to be that way. There's this really neat saying that I've heard, and I keep it in my mind all the time, that some people are so spiritually minded that they're no earthly good. Like the things they talk about, it's like about God, but like, dude, that doesn't even make sense. Like, what am I supposed to do with that? And then there's other people that they're so earthly minded. They're no spiritual good. Like you, like I know you say you're a Christian, but I don't know if you really know what that word means. And you have to find the balance between the two. It's almost like you've got to have your feet on the ground and your head in heaven. And if you do that, then you make the two meet. Does that make sense to anybody in this place? You know, you've got to touch both heaven and earth in order for you to be able to communicate God well to people. And if talking about God to people is weird, then maybe you need to practice with people that already know God so you don't get weird. You know what I'm saying? If you have any friends in this place that are Christian, practice talking about Jesus with them. And it's cool because they already know Jesus. So you can't mess up. And when you get comfortable talking about Jesus with other people that know Jesus, then you'll be easy talking to people that don't know Jesus. And you'll be like, what? You didn't know? And they'll be like, I didn't really know. But it's the coolest, man. I'm not going to read it to you. If you guys want to read it, go home, read Acts the 17th chapter. But there's this story about Paul the Apostle. And he rolls up into this place called Mars Hill. And they said, on the roadway up to this place called Mars Hill, there's all these statues of these different gods. You know, you got like Zeus there. You got, you know, Mercury there. Then you got, you know, that one chick over there that's in the that little, you know. Anyway, yeah, she's there with the hair. And then they said that there's this one statue that didn't really look like anything, and each statue had a little picture in it. It had a little sign underneath it, and you know that way it would have the nameplate. Well, this one statue that didn't really look like a whole lot, it said this statue is the unknown god. Because they want to make sure they didn't leave nobody out. Like, right? If you're going to give awards to all these other gods, you don't want to, like, mess with the god that you don't really know about. So they said this statue is the god that we haven't really heard about yet. So there's Paul walking up the stairs, looking at all this stuff, but not at all of them, because they're a little risque. But he finally gets there, and there's all these people just talking. I mean, when I read it, it sounds like a Starbucks or something like that, literally. Just people sitting around talking, chatting with their computers. Macchiato. And they're just sitting around talking about stuff, maybe like a college campus and stuff. You know, they're like, you got these two guys, a hacky sack in the back, you know. And he kind of joins the conversation. And he begins to talk about Jesus. He's like, hey, guys, I saw you guys at this statue. They got no name. I think I found out what the guy's name is. They're like, what? You know who that guy is? He's like, yeah. I met him. Is Jesus? That's his name? And they begin to talk. They're like, oh, yeah. Well, he was this and this, and this is what it was. And then the crazy thing, he begins to quote people. He begins to quote these poets of the day. It would be kind of like if... if I began to like recite some lyrics from, I don't know, Iggy Azalea. No, maybe not her. She's kind of crazy. Coldplay. Nah, maybe. Yeah, I mean, you know what I'm saying? Something. He began to throw these quotes in. Like, hey, you, one of your poets, he said something about us being like children of God, right? And then he said, you know what? And then he said, this other poet, I read this poem the other day, because they didn't really have, you know, the radio. He said, I read this other poem the other day. Another one of your poets was like, you know, everything we do, we move and breathe, and God sees us, and he's around it. He's like, you know, these guys are right. But it's a little bit different. See, he wasn't weird, and he was hip to everything that was going on around him, but he knew its place. See, he wasn't weird, but he wasn't normal either. And at the end, some people are like, oh, my gosh, this really kind of makes sense here. So, really? He said, you know, my macchiato time is around this time next week. Can we talk again? And some people were like, man, I want to hear more. But some people were praying with him. And some people, they said, they're like, this is whack, dude. I don't want to hear none of this. People even turned Paul down. They turned Paul down. Then, of course, they're going to turn us down. But the bottom line is this. Is Paul didn't have to be weird to talk about God. But he didn't sacrifice his integrity to stop being who God created him to be. Because you are going to be different than people around you. So it's time that we, as people that believe in love and God, stop trying to be like everybody else. You're not gonna be cool like everybody. You're not gonna be hip like everybody. Look, I mean, there's I don't think there's any way to throw a Christian kegger, rager. I don't know if you can do those things. I don't know if you can be drunk on a 40 and the Holy Spirit at the same time. I don't think it's possible. There is no pot for Jesus. Look, it just doesn't work that way. So you're never going to be like that. You're always going to be different. But that doesn't mean that you have to be unrelatable. Just think, whenever you see somebody that's hurting and in need, remember, if they hurt, I've hurt before. And my hurt can talk to your hurt about the one who heals hurts. And if you can get that, then you're cool. Because I don't know anybody in this room that's never been hurt. Right? Right? You've all cried before. You've all had mocos running down your face like Niagara Falls. You've all, everybody said, why me? Why? Everybody's done that before. Everybody, if you're not, you're lying. You're a dirty liar. And if you're telling the truth, give it a month. Because something's going to happen. And it's going to be bad. And you're going to cry like a little girl. Especially if you are a little girl. Everybody does it. So let your hurt talk to their heart. And let your hurt lead them to Jesus Christ. See, Paul kept it real. He didn't ignore the world around him. But he saw Jesus in the world to bring a world to Jesus. That's good. If you guys got something from God today, let's give him praise.